Izamit Carr, and I'm Telly Concepcion, and together we are Beyond the Numbers Podcast. We go beyond the numbers of sports and life to bring you the story within the story of the stories that matter. So come learn, grow, and have some fun with us. We are Beyond the Numbers Podcast.
On today's episode, the guys go beyond the numbers of college football 2020, discuss the Final Four, the national championship game, and the Heisman Trophy controversy. In NFL Nuggets, they go beyond the numbers of Week 17 of the 2020 NFL season, including a special incentive-based Show Me the Money segment. But first, their numbers of the day.
My number for the day is 62. Steph Curry scored 62 points this past week in a game. He's the second oldest to score 60 or more points. Kobe, obviously, is number one. He has the second most points scored in Golden State Warriors history. Rick Barry, the logo, is first. And actually, Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points with the Warriors when they were in Philadelphia.
My number of the day is 5. The 2021 Detroit Lions have the ability to be the first team to conquer the Bird Gauntlet. There are 5 Bird teams in the NFL: the Falcons, the Seahawks, the Cardinals, the Eagles, and the Ravens. No team in NFL history has ever defeated all 5 Bird teams in the same season. So we'll see if they can ruffle some feathers and fly away with it next year.
Before the business, Beyonders, it's time for Before the Business, where we answer your unanswered questions and find the numbers that went unfound in previous episodes.
So last week I said that Blake Snell was the 28th pitcher to be traded within 3 years of winning the Cy Young Award. Well, Snell was actually the 29th pitcher to be traded within 3 years of winning the Cy Young Award. So my bad, 29, not 28.
Yeah, and today, Amit, is Thursday, January 7th. And in full disclosure, we were set to record yesterday, January 6th. I think it's imperative to share the events that transpired yesterday. We have an international audience, but yesterday there was an attack on American democracy. So for the rest of Before the Business, I want to play the sounds of the reactions of American athletes to yesterday's events.
Order was restored Wednesday night in Washington, D.C., as both houses of Congress went on with the formality of counting the Electoral College votes that made Joe Biden the next president of the United States. But that was only after a day of rage in Washington. Rioters broke windows, pushed past police, and eventually breached the Capitol, something that hadn't happened since the War of 1812. The pro-Trump mob formed Wednesday morning and listened to speakers falsely claiming that November's election had been stolen before storming the Capitol. Sports figures have been speaking out about social justice and police brutality, and some of them addressed the events in D.C. as well.
When you saw the protests in the summer, and you saw the riots, the police and the National Guard and the Army, and then you see this and you saw nothing, it basically proves the point about a privileged life, in a lot of ways. I'll say it because I don't think a lot of people want to. Could you imagine today if those were all black people storming the Capitol and what would have happened? So that to me is a picture that's worth 1,000 words for all of us to see, and probably something for us to reckon with again.
It's such a blatant contrast in how people are treated in this country based on the color of their skin. Thousands of white people can storm the Capitol and not face any sort of obstruction from police. But heaven forbid a 12-year-old black boy carry a toy gun in a park, or a 15-year-old black boy walk home from a store with a bag of Skittles, or a young black male run through the neighborhood on a jog. Heaven forbid any of those things happen. But it's okay for thousands of traitors, basically, storming the Capitol, and we're not gonna put up any resistance. We're just gonna allow it. So, a blatant display of the inequity in our country.
We see the two different USAs that we live in. It's sad. It truly is. It's sad. But all in all, we came to the conclusion, look, man, we're going to go hoop. We know what it is. You can't fool us. You're not fooling nobody else. But like I said, it's just sad, man. And everybody sees it. Everybody knows it now. Like, you can't say that you don't understand it.
Seeing no justice for Jacob Blake, seeing what's going on at the Capitol, all this stuff, man, it's not a laughing matter, but it's a damn shame, to tell you the truth, that this continues to happen.
It's very unfortunate, man, to see if those roles were reversed, if those were African-Americans and black people, it would be totally different, unfortunately.
We get worse things done to us if we, you know, peacefully protest. You know, that's the crazy part. And I hope this just wakes up the world to let you know that there's no change. Nothing has changed. Let there be some black people running there. They all have been shot before they even got to the building. You know, that's the crazy part.
This is the same America that it's been. It's no different. You know, I've seen a lot of things of shoot them like we would have been shot. I don't think that's the right thing to do either. I think stop shooting us, you know. I think that's more of a battle cry than necessarily shoot them like we would have been shot. Just stop shooting us.
We tried to protest for peace, and, you know, we're looked down upon and we're this and we're that, but we see how they protest. It's unfortunate, but you know, it's an ongoing dialogue, ongoing conversations we gotta have with all races.
Ironically, you know, the news that's come out of Kenosha and these places, you know, within the same 24-hour span as that happens, and then you kind of see that, it's just like a slap in the face and almost a f*** you to every black person in America who goes through these things. It's almost like they want to show you that they have power and, you know, and want to show you that I can say f*** you and there's nothing you can do about it. And so, I mean, that's just what this country is. That's what this country's been. And like I said before, that's where this country probably will stay.
Let's go beyond the numbers of college football 2020 season and give you our thoughts really on the bowl season, on the top four, and how everything shook up these last few weeks. I want to give my thoughts on the top four, Amit, so we'll start with Ohio State, Clemson. Clemson served up bulletin board material. Dabo ranked Ohio State 11th, not even in the top 10, but I agreed with what he said, but he shouldn't have said it, Amit. That doesn't remove the fact. Also, I want to go back to last week. We told you guys Ohio State shouldn't be in the top four. I never said Ohio State wasn't good enough to be in the top four. I don't think anyone said that. I didn't hear that in what Dabo said either. What we said was, have they played enough games to qualify? Is it fair to throw in a 6-game team against an 11-game team? I watched the game, and I got to say, Ohio State looked fresh. They looked fresh. It's a violent sport. It's a violent game. I played it in college at the highest level. And, dude, those weeks wear on you.
Yeah, of course they looked fresh because they were fresh. And like you said, that game takes a toll on you, regardless of who your opponents are. they almost played twice as many games as Ohio State. So your body is taking a beating. So I mean, it doesn't line up. I was still surprised, but yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and like talking about the game now, just talking about the game, what a game it was, right? It was an entertaining game. The teams went back and forth for a while, but then Ohio State just dominated towards the back half of the game. That's what we used to do at Florida. That's what the better team, the most in shape team does. And Amit, Justin Fields got rocked. I thought he was done. I thought he would be out of the game for the rest of the game. What a hit. He took a helmet to the spine. Okay, then he comes back and he becomes the seventh player ever with 6 pass touchdowns in a bowl game, which was completely ridiculous. And I thought, like I said, I thought he was out. I think he showed a tremendous amount of toughness and grit staying in the game. He looked like he was in pain. I saw the replay several times. I was in pain after watching the replay. We'll see how he feels next week in the national championship game. But it goes right back to what we were talking about, Amit. That hit, some guy on Clemson could have got a hit like that 2, 3, or 4 weeks ago, been playing the rest of his games this season, and is playing this week hurt, where Justin Fields and Ohio State were fresh. They didn't take those hits through a full season, and now they're fresh and peaking at the right time. Well, let's see. They played 6 games. Let's see. My Gators, 6 games in, were 6-0 and would have been in the national championship game looking good, looking fresh, okay? And a lot of teams would have been undefeated, looking good, looking fresh, just like Ohio State is. So the other side of the coin is Clemson. They fell asleep, Amit. I got it wrong. We talked about this last week. I predicted Clemson was going to rock Ohio State. Ohio State rocked Clemson. I'll take the L on that one. Clemson looked unprepared. Clemson looked weak. Ohio imposed their will on Clemson up and down the football field. And here's an interesting stat on it. Trevor Lawrence, okay, he's 0-2 as a starter in the Superdome. He's 0-2 as a starter in the state of Louisiana. He's 34-0 in all other venues, in all other states, everywhere else that he's played. So note to the Saints, do not draft Trevor Lawrence, basically, right?
It'll be fun to see him play against the Saints, though, there.
Yeah, we'll see if that holds true.
That could be a fun stat to hold true.
Holds water.
Man, you've got these My Cousin Vinny references down, my friend.
We got it. It's a continuation from last week.
Sean, I know you're listening. Watch My Cousin Vinny.
Everyone, watch My Cousin Vinny.
But look, Telly, I'll be honest on this one. I did not tune into this game until it was well out of reach for Clemson. I assumed it's going to be a tight game. If I miss the first half, no big deal. Second half will be fun. It was no contest at that point. I really didn't think Ohio State would put up the fight they did, but like you said, man, Clemson just fell asleep. And while Clemson and Alabama seemed inevitable, I guess that's why we play the game. Justin Fields, to your point, showed a lot of heart, a lot of talent to finish the game the way he did. I guess on that day, the better team won, even if the better team happened to play half the games and were twice as healthy and all of the other things that come with it.
I mean, like I said, it ended up being a great game, and shouts out to Coach Mick. The reason Ohio State's great, and I don't talk about it on here enough, my strength and conditioning coach at Florida, Coach Mickey Marotti, best in America. He is Ohio State's strength and conditioning coach. The reason Ohio State looks good each and every year, I gotta say, and I've told Amit this before, and I think I've mentioned on the pod, to me, the most important position in college football, probably the second most important position in college football, is the strength and conditioning coordinator. That person gets the guys right. That person gets the players in the summer. I'm sure Coach Mick had Ohio State working out, whether they thought there was going to be a season this season or not, which Ohio State thought there would not be a season for most of the season. So it's not these kids' fault. It's not Ohio State's fault. They only got to play 6 games. We're just saying, from a top teams in America perspective, it's tough to evaluate a team that's played half the games of all the other teams. So the other game, Amit, that took place in the college football playoff semifinals was Notre Dame versus Alabama. And although I got the call wrong on Clemson, Ohio State, I very much got the call right on Notre Dame, Alabama, because last week I told you guys, and Aris Noel III, my boy running back for Notre Dame, earmuffs once again, my friend, because I told you Notre Dame just didn't belong last week. And I'm We are Beyond the Numbers podcast, so I want to use numbers here. In the BCS and New Year's Six Bowls, I'm going to read off the last results of Notre Dame football's bowl season to you. In 2020 against Alabama, lost by 17. 2018 against Clemson, lost by 27. 2015 against Ohio State, lost by 16. 2012 against Alabama, lost by 28. 2006 versus LSU, lost by 27. 2005 against Ohio State, lost by 14. 2000 versus Oregon State, lost by 32. That is the result of their last BCS, New Year's, and college football playoff semifinal games.
That's pitiful. They just can't get it done.
And it shows the strength of conference and schedule, because they always do look like one of the better teams in the country. Okay, they do have, they get through their schedule undefeated or only with one loss. So it makes it look like, okay, this team's got to be in it. This team, we got to put them up there. But when you look at who they played, my argument last week was not that they're not a deserving team and not a great team and all the respect to them. They beat a Clemson team with no Trevor Lawrence. And it took them overtime at home to do it. Yep. So you're going to put that team up against the very same teams and the very same level of competition, run it back and say, okay, well, they beat them one time in overtime without their starting quarterback. The second time they got thoroughly defeated. But we think if they play a third time or we put them in the top four, they'll fare better. So that's really on the college football playoff committee. They watch all the games. They know inside and out how good these teams are and how they would do. So Alabama, Ahmed, to me, looks like the best team in the country by far. I think it's leaps and bounds. And I think Ohio State's number two based on what we were given, regardless of how many games they played. But Nick Saban's got a chance at revenge because he lost to Ohio State in the playoffs a few years ago. And Najee Harris, man, that hurdle in that game, he jumped over a grown man, a 6'2" man, and just pushed him to the side, ran. I thought he was going to score on that. I think he felt bad, and he ended up just running out of bounds on that one because it definitely looked like he could score.
That is nasty, though. And look, I'm with you. This game did not surprise me at all. I think we both expected a blowout, and that's what we got. Can't reiterate this more, but Notre Dame is not on the same level as any of these SEC teams and strength of schedule. When I think about it, it may have been more entertaining to watch Notre Dame play Clemson for a third time. just to see what would happen. Just see what happened.
Just to see, just the, because, flip the coin. We know what would happen in that.
But at least they'd be entertaining, right? Because this one, there was no doubt. But at least if you played Clemson again, you could think, well, they didn't have Trevor Lawrence the first time, overtime at home. All right, well, let's give that to them. And maybe the second time they lost, well, maybe they didn't prepare properly. They weren't ready for Trevor Lawrence. So we'll give that to, a little tiebreaker, best of three series.
But, I mean, they made the quarterback for Notre Dame look pedestrian, Alabama. Yep. That dude was in conversations for the Heisman at certain points, best quarterback out of Notre Dame in recent history and all that. And I really didn't see it. I really didn't see it this game. And it looked like Alabama let their foot off the gas towards the end of the game. We'll see. I mean, Notre Dame tried to score there at the very end, and Alabama didn't let them get it, right? Some people were trying to cover a certain spread, as they say, yep. in the betting, people that put money on games, you know what I'm saying? But it didn't work out. So this sets up, it's funny. In full disclosure, I live out here. I told you guys, Silicon Valley. My cable provider is Comcast Xfinity, and I told Ahmed this week, they had their graphics people already put for the college football playoff. They had a Clemson player and an Alabama player. They had already said that's who it was going to be. Clemson obviously didn't hold up their end of the bargain. So the national championship game that we have is Ohio State versus Alabama. It's scheduled for Monday, January 11th, Ahmed. But we shall see, because Ohio State has had a COVID outbreak and they've been pushing to affect the date of the game and push it out by another week. I don't know if this has gained any traction, but Nick Saban's daughter put out a tweet, and we'll let y'all Google that for yourselves, of her thoughts on that. This will be the fifth all-time meeting between Alabama and Ohio State. Alabama's 3-1. The last game went to Ohio State, as I said, Urban Meyer beat Nick Saban in the first ever college football playoff game. And I'm pretty sure, Ahmed, that Nick Saban has not forgotten about that game and has not forgotten about Ohio State.
Yeah, and Alabama is going for the perfect season. They have not had a perfect season since 2009, if I remember correctly. So I think it'll be fun to watch them win, and there's plenty of great storylines. But I think it would be equally interesting to see Ohio State win a national championship after winning a total of 8 games. Look at that. If they won 8 total games, can you imagine all the friction that you would see in the NCAA?
No, because you're inciting riots. You're basically encouraging teams like, okay, let's say COVID continues, which it is. It's raging across the country, right? College football starts again in September, August, September, summer ball. So let's say we're still in COVID protocols. Now what you're doing is encouraging teams to, you know what? We're going to play 5 games. Then they're going to let us in the national championship game. You know what, Florida Gators? Instead of playing 11 games, okay, instead of risking it against LSU at the end of the season, the game we ended up losing, instead of risking it against Texas A&M, play 5 games at home, play the 5 easiest games we can, let's get voted into the national championship game, we'll be fresh for that, and then we'll win the national championship. Like, I think it just sets a dangerous precedent to allow a team with so few games into the national championship. And if they win it all, then you're just letting other teams know, like, look, if y'all play 5 games and y'all look decent, we'll let y'all in this tournament to be the best team in the country. And you send a message to these other kids who played 10 games, 11 games, got hit, beat, bruised, had to sit in the cold tank, needed treatment, okay, that, oh, it's okay, we're just gonna let a team that plays half the games as you in. That's not right to me. And I got beat up pretty bad. I seen guys take hits and injuries in this sport. I think it's dangerous to let a team with so few games in and consider them one of the best.
It's a money grab. It should have never happened in the first place anyway, right? And it's an invitational tournament, so what does it matter?
So Alabama, please, we're begging you. My prediction is Bama wins, but we're begging you. Don't fall asleep. Don't think Ohio State's not ready to play. But you got to play this game and you got to bury him. It's for the SEC. So some other things I saw this weekend, Ahmed, Cincinnati deserved to win. I felt really bad for them. I watched the end of that game. A 53-yard field goal for Georgia. But the way the end of the game unfolded, all Cincinnati needed was a first down, and they could not get it, man. They had a couple offsides calls that killed them. That was sad to watch. And Northwestern whooped Auburn. I was shocked that Northwestern took it to Auburn. So there was some great football out there.
IU lost. That was tough. They had such a good season, and then to kind of end the way they did. Yeah, so that was a tough one, but that was pretty much it.
Yeah, it's hard to get excited for bowl season with COVID raging and basically everyone glad that the season is over and everyone survived. And we can't escape this segment, Ahmed, without talking about the Heisman Trophy.
I don't know if I really expected to see a wide receiver win, but he did put up some crazy numbers.
That was crazy to me because, all right, Kyle Trask didn't win. I can live with that. If y'all want to say that Smith was better, then that's fine. That's an opinion. But fourth place, I can't believe fourth place. But we're beyond the numbers, Ahmed. We're not opinion, beyond the opinion, beyond the numbers podcast. So let's do that. Trevor Lawrence received 222 first place votes. Okay. Trevor Lawrence threw for 2,753 yards, 22 touchdowns, 4 picks. Kyle Trask only received 61 first place votes. He threw for 4,125 yards and 43 touchdowns. He doubled Trevor Lawrence's totals, and Trevor Lawrence got that many more votes for the Heisman than he did? Really? Mac Jones got 138 first place votes. Let me read you those stats. Mac Jones, 3,739 passing yards, 32 touchdowns. Again, Kyle Trask, 4,125 yards and 43 touchdowns. Okay, let me read the last Heisman winner stats. In 2019, Joe Burrow threw for 4,715 yards and 48 touchdowns. In 2018, Kyler Murray threw for 4,946 yards and 51 touchdowns. And in 2017, Baker Mayfield threw for 4,340 yards with 41 touchdowns and 5 picks. Those were 3 Heisman winners. This season, the QB with the most votes threw for half the amount, 2,753 yards and only 22 touchdowns. Okay, so I'll leave you guys with this. This year's fourth place winner stats, Kyle Trask, 4,125 yards, 43 touchdowns. He was first in yards in the country, throwing touchdowns by at least 11. And that guy got fourth place. Come on now. It's time for our new segment, NFL Nuggets, where we go beyond the numbers and bring you the stories within the story of the stories that matter within the NFL. NFL Nuggets, let's go beyond the numbers of week 17 in the NFL. So we've concluded the NFL regular season. All 256 games have been played, leading to the first 6-game playoff weekend in NFL history. And while cases nationwide explode on it, the NFL will try to make it through 13 more games in the playoffs. Fingers crossed. 7 new teams made it into the playoffs this year.
And for the first time in 52 years, NFL road teams have won more games than the home teams. That's correct. On the road, 128 to 127 and one tie.
No fans, man. That makes a difference. No fans. You're just playing in empty stadiums pretty much.
Makes a big difference for sure. Look, you got 12th man in Seattle. You've got Kansas City. Both of those stadiums rock. It's completely different in terms of how offenses are run when it's dead silent.
Oh, trust me. It was weird watching college football with no fans because you don't know what's going on in the game. The fans usually tip you off whether it was good or bad.
Right.
Overall, this was the league's highest scoring season ever. They averaged 49.6 points a game, way up from the 45.6 last year. And the 12,692 points scored this season was the most in any NFL season.
Yeah, and let's look at some firsts, Amit. So we want to go through this list of firsts. So Lamar Jackson is the first quarterback with multiple 1,000 rushing yard seasons. Michael Vick did it one time only.
Lamar Jackson also has 46 red zone passing touchdowns and 0 interceptions. No one in NFL history has ever done that.
Mike Evans became the first player with 1,000 receiving yards in his first 7 NFL seasons. Derrick Henry became the first player with 200 rushing yards in 3 straight games against the same team. More on that in a bit.
Stephon Diggs is the first player in NFL history to lead the league in receiving yards in his first season with a new team. So it turns out new offense and no preseason did not affect him.
John Wolford became the first quarterback in the Super Bowl era to make his first career start in his team's last game with a chance to make the playoffs. And man, I got a shout out to him. I watched this game. He deserved to have a pass TD on it, but it was dropped. It was dropped in the end zone. But a tip of the cap to John Wolford, who just jumped in, led the team, looked like he didn't miss a beat, did a great job. Hat tip to him.
The Broncos are the first team in NFL history to miss the playoffs for 5 straight seasons after winning the Super Bowl.
It's time for Show Me the Money, Amit. We have a Show Me the Money segment, and we haven't been able to do it for a while. It's one of our favorite segments to do, but we want to talk about some money. What was on the line in week 17 of the NFL, the final regular season week of the NFL? So Leonard Floyd, Amit, of the Rams, needed half a sack for a $1.25 million bonus. And let me tell you, he was in the hospital on Friday, but you best believe he played on Sunday. And don't think that he did not know exactly what was at stake for him. He ended up getting his bonus.
Devontae Parker needed 4 catches for 73 yards in order to get a $750,000 bonus. Definitely got that done. Emmanuel Sanders of the Saints needed 8 catches for $500,000. Got that done.
And my Bucks, Ahmed, Thomas Brady had $562,500 on the line if he finished top 5 in the NFL in passing yards. And guess what? You didn't have to hold your breath to see how Aaron Rodgers did Sunday night, because Brady was ahead of him by more than 600 yards, and Aaron Rodgers ended up throwing for only 250 plus. So Thomas Brady got it done and got that bonus. AB, Antonio Brown, needed 11 catches for a $250,000 bonus. And guess what, Amit? You think Tom Brady didn't know that? Tom Brady was, quote, passing him the ball at the end. They basically called some jet sweeps where Tom just shuffled the ball into AB's hands and got him his $250,000 bonus. I feel like he kind of felt responsible because he's the reason that AB's on the Bucks right now. So he wanted to make sure he got him that bonus, because as we mentioned earlier in the podcast, it was a very cheap deal, a no-risk deal for the Buccaneers that was very much incentive-laced.
And we can't forget Seattle Seahawks' David Moore, who got an extra $100,000 thanks to a last-second touch pass he needed to get 35 receptions. Russell Wilson actually was supposed to kneel on that final play, but he audibled out of it,
passed to
David Moore, got that 35th reception, got his $100,000. Well done.
These quarterbacks, man, these quarterbacks taking care of their guys, so make sure you keep your eye on the prize. And, hey, it's a business, so you got to get that money. So show me the money right there. Those guys got it done. Congrats to you guys. I wish in real life I'm going to work like that. Like if you send 1,000 emails in the year, you get a $25,000 bonus. These football guys got it made, man. Also, half a sack, not a lot of pressure right there. Half a sack. That's all.
Yeah, you just got to touch him when he goes down. Just got to be one of the guys to touch him.
Some quick bits. Thomas Brady and Peyton Manning are the only players with 40 or more touchdowns with two different franchises. Thomas Brady threw his 40th touchdown this past weekend in the Buccaneers game. So the Titans and Texans, Amos, this was one of the best games of Sunday. This was one of the best games of the weekends. The Titans won the game. What a game. Houston actually had a chance to win the game. Who would have thought it? And Sloman, his first day with the Titans, he said he didn't even know all his teammates' names yet. He is the kicker for the Tennessee Titans. Everybody knows his name now because he won it with a dink. It hit the upright, bounced in. People were shocked because this game looked like it was about to go to overtime. It looked like it was about to go to overtime, and Ryan Tannehill drove them down the field for a chance to win the game. But we can't talk about the Titans, Amit, without talking about the Titan of a man, Derrick Henry. What a beast. He's the 8th player in NFL history to rush for 2,000 yards in an NFL season. He did it by rushing 34 times for 250 yards. He's going to finish the season with 2,027 yards. He turned 27 on Monday. Amit, happy birthday to him. He's in his prime, and he's now tied for 100th on the all-time rushing list after only 78 games with 5,860 yards. He's got 4 200-yard rushing games in his last 17 regular season games. Jim Brown and Barry Sanders each had 4 in their entire careers. And on the Texans side, Amit, last week you told us about Deshaun Watson's incredible season despite the lack of effort from his teammates that J.J. Watt has had to call out.
Yeah, it's been a tough season for Deshaun, even though he has played excellently. And for what it's worth, there are some rumblings out there that Deshaun Watson may be looking for a trade this offseason. So we'll see how that plays out. About your quick bits with Brady and Manning being the only players with 40 touchdowns with two different franchises. You know, if that bad man Aaron Rodgers ever leaves Green Bay, and there was a lot of word that it may be this season, I feel like he could do that in a season or two. dropped.
I know Tampa might be put, you know, we're rolling out the carpet. We brought Thomas down. We're going to send Thomas off with a Super Bowl and all these records and accolades. And then right behind him, why don't we bring Aaron Rodgers? He thinks the snow. He loves Green Bay. Wait till he gets some of that Tampa Bay sunshine. Wait till he buys himself a nice, shiny new boat, just like Thomas just did. And wait till he starts hanging out with his family down in Tampa Bay.
Well, far
Aaron
from
Rodgers, you're next.
Well, far from Tampa Bay, we have the Packers and the Bears. And the Packers have clinched home field advantage through the playoffs for the first time since 2011. These games will be played in January. And the average low temperature in Green Bay in January is 9 degrees. Aaron Rodgers is the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for 40 or more touchdowns. He threw for 48 with 5 or less interceptions in a season.
Yeah, and I think that might be the MVP of this year. So Steelers-Browns was another game this weekend, Amit. And part one was this week. Part two is next week. Because it's almost like the Steelers were just messing around to see what the Browns could do. So the Browns had their whole season on the line. They had Baker Mayfield's reputation on the line. They had the new coach's reputation on the line. All the Steelers did were pull all their starters, pull their starting quarterback, rest all their guys, and let the Browns, and the Browns barely won that game. So what did the Browns earn? They earned a playoff berth against the Steelers next week. The Steelers have won 17 straight games against the Browns at home. That's the third longest home winning streak against a single opponent in NFL history. The game will be played in Pittsburgh. So now it's time to go to the duds real quick, Amit. And the duds this week are plentiful, but the Panthers became the first team to throw 5 interceptions and no touchdowns since 2017. A quick reminder that the Detroit Lions have 1 playoff win since 1958. And also, the Bears clinched a playoff berth. And you're like, why are they a dud? They're the third team to reach the playoffs with a 6-game losing streak. The 2014 Panthers did it, and the 1970 Bengals did it. So we'll see which way they end up.
We've talked about the San Diego Chargers a bunch this season, and specifically their star rookie.
Hanging out with them, Miami, man. Amit was hanging in the hotel with the Chargers and with Haircut Herbert.
Haircut Herbert. We got to do what we got to do, man. We got to do what we got to do. Well, the 2020 Chargers, the team that we got to hang with, are the only team in the NFL this season to finish in the top 10 in both total offense, which they finished 9th, and total defense, they finished 10th, and still missed the playoffs. What's even more shocking is that this isn't the first time it happened to the Chargers. Back in 2010, the Chargers actually finished 1st in total offense and 1st in total defense and missed the playoffs. 1st in both categories, did not make the playoffs. Their record that year was 9-7. Bold prediction for you. 2030, Chargers are going to be in the bottom 10 in total offense, bottom 10 in total defense, but they will still make those playoffs.
Man, and I enjoyed Hard Knocks this season, man, and you see how much passion and care Anthony Lynn has. And Anthony Lynn was fired this week with a 33-30 record. We've already talked about, you know, coaches and getting an opportunity. I thought he'd at least get one more year because they had a lot of close losses this year, Amit, and obviously he was turning things around. The team looked good. They didn't look bad. They just weren't winning games. And sometimes it takes some time before a team takes that next step.
The good part is at least they finished strong, right? They had that 4-game winning streak at the end. So, you know, it wasn't enough to keep him there, but it's something for them to grow on.
Yeah, and I think with the 4-game winning streak, a good attitude, the guys never gave up in any game. The locker room was intact. I think you keep him, you give him another year with Justin Herbert going into the season as your starter and get it done. We'll see who they bring in and what the plan is, but sometimes you can derail progress by making too much change too quickly. So last and least, Amit, last and least. You see what I did there?
That's
good. NFC least of all season. We got to start now with your football Giants of New York. And Danny Dimes has thrown for 11 touchdowns, but he's also fumbled the ball 11 times this season. Yet, he is still the future quarterback of that franchise.
Yeah, that's a dumpster fire that's not in waiting. It's been there for a long time. Fun fact, do you know why they're called the Football Giants?
Because there was a baseball team in New York called the Giants, and they moved out here to where I live now, and they're now known as the San Francisco Giants, my friend.
See, you got knowledge. Moving on to another perpetual dumpster fire in the NFC least. A reminder for Cowboys fans, the boys have had four playoff wins since 1997. There are only five teams with less playoff wins in that time frame. The Washington Redtails, who have two, and then the Lions, Bengals, Browns, and Bills, who have none.
That's a list you don't want to be on. That's a list you don't want to be on. So Cowboys, do better. And you know what we say on this podcast. Dak, get better. Dak, pay that man Prescott. He's earned every cent of an extension, even more so as he has not been playing this season.
That's what's going to have to replace Bubble News. We got to have a pay that man section.
Pay that man Prescott section. Dak, feel better, man. We're rooting for you. He was at the Gators game. He was hanging out with Dan Mullen. He made an appearance, and it was good to see him. He was in good spirits at the stadium there, so it was great to see he was out and about and in good spirits, because that's a tough injury and a tough recovery. Speaking of tough injuries and tough recoveries, Amit, Washington Redtails, led by Alex Smith, who almost had a leg amputated, led by cancer survivor coach Ron Rivera. Okay, they're the only NFC East team to achieve a winning record at any point in the season, and that is when they were 1-0. So think about that. The whole division, the only team that achieved the winning record at any point in the season, and that was only when they were 1-0. This division went 23-40-1. That's fourth worst by a division since 2002. A .287 win percentage versus teams outside of the division, leading to an 11-28-1 record. So, Amit, they won the division and they earned the right to face my Bucks in the playoffs. We talked last week, it might be your Giants facing my Bucks. That would have been fun and made for a great Beyond the Numbers podcast, but they're going to face my Bucks. There's some familiarity for Bruce Arians and Ron Rivera. The last time a team won a division title with a losing record was in 2014, when Coach Rivera's Panthers won the NFC South at 7-8-1. Bruce Arians' Cardinals went to Charlotte with an 11-5 record and got beat 27-16. Now the 7-9 Washington Redtails will host another team coached by Bruce Arians, my Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who also sit with an 11-5 record. We shall see. Hopefully, history does not repeat itself, Amit. And the team Washington beat to get into the playoffs also affected your chances of your team getting into the playoffs. And that was the Redtails beat, and I'm holding up air quotes to Amit, beat the Philadelphia Eagles. How do you bench Jalen Hurts in a winnable game? Were they just trying to spite your Giants or what? Because if the Eagles win this game, your Giants make it into the playoffs against my Bucks.
They needed to lose. They need to lose. No, look, at the end of the day, right, as angry as Giants fans are and as angry as the players were, the Giants were a mess. If they had won more than five games, this wouldn't be an issue, right? Or six games. All they had to do was win seven games, this would have been fine. And turns out, the Redtails were the only team they could consistently beat this season. For a while there, that was the only two wins they had. It was tough to watch. I do agree that this was kind of a travesty to the game in terms of you got guys out there that put their heart and soul, their bodies on the line day in, day out to win a game, right? It's hard to win a game in the NFL. So any win is a win, is a good win. And to see a coach just kind of say, well, we were close. You know, it's a 3-point game. Let's just, you know, I'm done with this game. Let's just put random people in to see what happens.
The Eagles might outdo your Giants, man, because Carson Wentz wants out. They still got to pay him. Jalen Hurts looked good, but you bench him at the end of a game where you guys could win the game. Jason Kelce, okay? The person who's responsible for part of your Super Bowl win called out teams that tank at the end of the season to see how good players are, stopped blocking towards the end of the game, and was over the shenanigans. And they had a meeting for an hour and a half after on the field of that game. And you can check the Twitter feed because I tweeted that out on the Twitter feed. But the Eagles seem like they're a mess, man. And guess what? Doug Peterson still has a job. How does that man still have a job?
See, and my theory is he may be trying to get out of that job. That would be the best reason to do what he did, because there's some other interesting opportunities out there for teams that have some talent, potentially. We'll see.
We shall see.
So let's wrap this thing up. Happy New Year's 2021. We went beyond the numbers for this wild and crazy college football season and our predictions for the championship game.
Also, my thoughts on the Heisman Trophy this season. Kyle Trask, fourth? No way. He was only the fourth best player in college football this year.
In NFL Nuggets, we went beyond the numbers of week 17 in the NFL. Show me the money. Guys had some contractual incentives that they definitely hit, and we gave you some firsts in the NFL.
Lastly, and Amit knows about the work I do with the Florida Players Network, so two things on that front. Daryl the Miracle Man Perry, his new video is out. Daryl is a mentor to me and an inspiration to many around the world. So shouts out to Daryl, and I'll put his story in the Twitter feed so you guys can check it out. Also, I'm working with the Florida Players Network on the Leonard George and Willie Jackson Senior Scholarship Endowment. They were the first African-American scholarship recipients at the University of Florida. And I'll quote Jimmy DeBose here. Leonard George and Willie Jackson Sr. were both trailblazers who achieved success both on the field and in the classroom. We believe that their achievements warrant the creation of their scholarship endowment. Your contribution, no matter how large or small, will be greatly appreciated. And I could put it no better than Gator great Jimmy DeBose.
Lastly, for the new year, we'd like to increase our footprint. We've gotten great feedback, so please be sure to share that feedback on iTunes or follow us on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. We wouldn't be in the spot without you guys, and we can't get to the next level without you. We've got Spotify Creators Award this year, but we want to grab some others in 2021.
So be sure to ask your friends, have you gone beyond the numbers in sports this week? Tell a friend to tell a friend. And Happy New Year 2021. Thank you for going beyond the numbers with us. We're a weekly podcast dedicated to going beyond the numbers of sports and life to bring you the story within the story of the stories that matter. We're available on all major podcasting platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Whatever you're listening on now, please be sure to click the follow or subscribe button to get our latest content.
And remember, you can find us on Instagram, Beyond the Numbers Podcast, and on Twitter at Beyond TN Podcast.
Until next time,
peace.